What does it really mean to be risky? That question almost sounds like when people say, what is the meaning of life in our world? But what I want to do is give you two definitions and ask you which one resonates most with you. So here's the first one. Client came to me when I asked them, what does risk mean to you? They said, Ari, risk means that my money doesn't go up and down a whole bunch because once I retire, I don't have as much time for that money to recover. So I just would prefer less fluctuation. I said, hey, that's pretty good. I asked another client, hey, what does risk mean to you? They said, risk means that I'm not unnecessarily leaving money on the table. I don't want to see my money go up and down a whole bunch. At the same time, I do recognize that there is value to being invested in a very specific allocation, and I don't want to be in my 80s going, why don't I have millions of more dollars if they're not investing well? And I said, wow, that's another really good definition. It's not that one's right or one's wrong, but it's the same reason that I tell everyone you cannot have a cookie cutter approach. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you may have seen this ahead of time. And if you're just listening on the podcast app, I'll explain. Someone sent me this anti cookie cutter jar, and I'm zooming in on it on my camera right now. And it was sent to me, and I just think it's awesome because I often say it, but I didn't know I said it this much, where someone sent me a jar, and it's because I don't believe in the cookie cutter approach. I don't believe in what's your age and risk tolerance. I don't think that's going to help you retire a whole lot, you know, with a whole lot more confidence, should I say. Let's assume I say, hey, what's your risk tolerance? You're like, I'm a 2 today and a 10 tomorrow. That's not really helping me retire. I don't really do the scale. To me, I think you have to be a whole lot more intentional, and that creates confidence because a lot of people come to me. They go, Ari, I've ran some projections on my own. I'm pretty confident with my planning, and it says I have a 99% chance of success. And I go, why don't you go retire then? And they go, well, I what if something's wrong? What if I'm in that 1%? And I'm finding a lot of people are going, hey, I want to make sure I'm doing the right things. And if I miss one thing, does that mean I'm going to have to go back to work? And there are instances where exactly that happens. And I talked about it last week on my sequence of return risk episode, which is the concept that you get unlucky. And now, because markets didn't perform well in the same years, you're trying to travel and spend more on health insurance before Medicare kicks in, that your portfolio is being drained too quickly. So what I want you to do today is, if any of you are going, hey, I've ran some projections on my own, looks like I'm in a good spot. I also don't want you to be mad at me when you're in your 80s and 90s going, hey, Ari, or whoever your advisor is, I've got a ton of money. Why didn't you tell me I could have spent more if I was in a good spot to spend? I don't want to, you know, overspend, but I tell everyone in retirement, there's a cheat code. And you're like, what's the cheat code? The cheat code is, it's as if you're going bowling. Now, I'll always start my episodes, when I say always, mainly, if I have a story that could come to mind that I think would be helpful, I like to start with a story, a quick one, and then I want to go through a financial example with you, and then I want to go through the logic behind that. And I try to keep these 10 to 15 minutes. Sometimes I go 20, 25. I do outline all of these, but sometimes I just think it makes sense to go with my story. So hopefully you've enjoyed the format of the show. I'll go through a few reviews in just a moment, but just too excited, so I want to tell you guys this. So when someone comes to me, I'll say, hey, are you a big bowler? And by the way, no one's ever said yes to that. So I could pick a new analogy at this point, but I just find this works. And so they're like, no. Has anyone ever said yes? I'm like, no. But regardless, I say, well, what if you go into retirement and you're bowling and you hit a few pins over just when you're throwing the ball down the lane? That's great. I mean, that's the point. The point is to hit pins over. Pretty simple. You could even do really well. You could hit a strike, or you could do unlucky, get unlucky, or maybe you just have really bad form. And you could throw that. And like all of us have thought of at one point when you've gone to the bowling alley, maybe you hit a gutter ball. Maybe you even hit a gutter ball on the person's lane next to you. And so what I want you to do is understand there's a cheat code to all of this, which is going into retirement with the bumpers up. That's what it's like when you have an advisor or someone that's implementing dynamic withdrawal strategy to say, hey, here's the most you can spend, meaning here are the guardrails I want you to be within. Here's the minimum where if you don't spend this, you're going to be on track for $5, $10 million, and you're going to be upset with us later. At the same time, what we don't want you to do is overspend. That's not the goal of retirement planning, but I also don't want you to underspend. I want you to become a successful spender. So I want you to change your investment perspective in retirement, because too many people say, you know what, Ari, I've been a great saver, and if I stay a good saver, I know I'm not going to run out of money. I say, you're right. I'll even do you one better. What you can do if you want to have a great investment plan is go work 30 more years. Your plan will look amazing, but your life won't. And no one ever comes to me and goes, I'm so glad my Roth conversion strategy, took me to the point where I now have $600,000 tax-free dollars when I'm 95. They say, I'm glad I did Roth conversions so that my children, when they inherit these dollars, aren't in a really healthy tax bracket and decide to not take a job because if that job, if they really enjoy it, but it pays them a lot, they're second guessing taking the job because I invested well, I'm now going to have to get taxed on those dollars. Now, this is a real story. A client came to me, and specifically a child of a client, said, Ari, I'm thinking about no longer being a doctor. I'm like, what do you mean? Because I know the last example I just gave you, it's a mouthful. So I'm going to give you a real story to illustrate this. Client came to me, and he said, Ari, I am, once again, this is the child of the client, thinking about no longer being a doctor. I said, why? They said, well, my dad's invested really well. I go, that's true. And they go, well, I heard your podcast. And you said at some point that if I inherit these dollars, I get taxed on them. I go, that's true, because they're pre-tax dollars. And they go, well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about quitting my job. And as you know, my dad's not in the best health, and their dad is my client. They said, my dad's not in the best health. And so what I don't want to have happen is my dad passes away, and now I'm a physician and I'm in a really healthy tax bracket. And now I'm taxed at 35, 40 plus percent on everything he worked so hard for. So I'm now thinking about no longer being a doctor. I said, let me make sure I have this straight. Are you saying that you're considering altering your future of becoming a physician just because your father invested really well? They go, exactly that. I go, well, this is the risk of poor planning. The risk of poor planning is that now your child no longer takes a position they otherwise would have loved and helped thousands of people just because you invested really well. Now, that sounds really weird, but these are examples that I'm seeing consistently where if you invest really well, there are different issues that you face. My parents, and a lot of you know this, were burned by multiple financial advisors. It's why I became an advisor. There were four specific advisors. And so they're still working in their 70s, but luckily they love what they do. The premise of the story is I saw the risk of bad planning, which can lose millions, and the value of good planning, which can add millions and cause a lot of you to pay 0% in taxes if you're really efficient. So how am I changing your investment perspective? I don't want you to be an amazing saver. I don't want you to be an overspender. I want you to be a successful spender. And I want you to know, if you're still working today, when you can stop saving. Because what I don't want you to do is go, wait a second, I've maxed out my 401k for the last 20 years. I'm just going to keep doing that because it's what you've done, and you see you log in and you have $2 million. Great. But then there comes a point where if you have $2 million and you get a 10% rate of return on that, that's $200,000. Good luck beating that by adding $30,500 into your 401k. You can't. So there becomes a point where it's a whole lot more impactful to invest well as opposed to simply say, I'm going to add new dollars. So why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up because I want to change your investment perspective, like I mentioned at the beginning, to something that's going to let you sleep better at night. And here's my final example here. Client came to me. They said, Ari, I really want to pay off my mortgage. I said, why? They said, well, I'm just going to sleep a whole lot better. And I know also right now I'm spending $8,000 a month. In the future, if I had this mortgage gone, I'd only need $5,000 from my portfolio, not eight. I would sleep better. I said, great. Here's the alternative, is we don't pay off the mortgage. And instead, we just keep paying the minimum down. And in this particular client case, they were going to yield $400,000 more dollars from doing that. And so we went through it. They said, I get it. I'm not paying off the mortgage. But I also understand there's real financial benefits from not doing that based on my interest rate and my other financial goals. I said, great. Another client came to me and it was very similar, but they just said, Ari, I know maybe I'm losing money on the table. I don't care. I am going to sleep better with that mortgage gone. That debt is over my head. I want it gone. I said, great. And I showed them the trade-off, and it was about $80,000 of a difference over the long term versus investing it based on their rate and different factors. And they go, wow, it doesn't really make a huge difference over the next 30 years. I go, you're right. Please go pay off the mortgage and please go throw a party. Excuse me. So the reason I'm bringing this up is, yes, there's the financial answer to everything. Then there's the real life answer. And what I want you to do is quantify all of these decisions so that you can go make an awesome decision on your own. A good advisor shouldn't say, go pay off the mortgage or go invest. A good advisor should say, what's going to help you sleep better at night? Okay, good to know. Am I going to educate my client on why this is a no-brainer and why they shouldn't pay off the mortgage? And am I going to illustrate to them why this is something that they think, you know, for the next 20 years, they could be going, I know maybe I should pay off my mortgage, but I know I should invest. When in reality, maybe they shouldn't invest it. Maybe they have a 7% mortgage interest rate, and the point is they're close to paying off their mortgage, and it should make sense to go pay it off. So it's about saying, how can I really create a custom approach so that you are sleeping well? This ties all these little stories and examples I just went over, these tie back to the very first example I gave today, which is the client that said, I don't want my money to go up and down a whole bunch. And then the other client that said, I want to make sure that I don't leave anything on the table, yet I still don't want it to go up and down a whole bunch. So what we always need to do is go, hey, what's the risk return that we're comfortable with? And I'll show clients, if markets went down 30%, would you be able to sleep at night? And if they go, no, I just couldn't stomach it, that whole concept would cause me to lose sleep, I'd say, great, then we're not doing it. Here's the trade-off. The trade-off is instead of spending $10,000 a month, you're going to spend $8,000 a month. And they might go, I don't want to spend eight, I want to spend 10. I say, great, here's the other trade-off. You can work a little bit longer. They go, I don't want to work longer. I hate my job. And I say, great, you can take this other job and it's going to pay a whole lot less, but I need you to do it for more years. And you might go, well, maybe I'd enjoy that. You know, maybe I didn't bring in $150,000 a year, but if I bring in $70,000 a year and I enjoy it and I'm working 3 days a week instead of 5 days a week, that's more of what I'm looking for. I say, great. You might say, you know what? I'm so comfortable with investing, but I don't love my current job. And I want to make sure that I'm doing everything in my power to optimize what I've worked so hard for. I have clients, guys, that have 100% equities. And you're going, oh, well, how on earth could you recommend that? That just doesn't make any sense. Someone's getting older. I go, you're right. It's a horrible recommendation. And they're like, oh, what did you just say? I go, it's horrible. If they don't also have a spouse that's still working, if they don't also have medical that's being taken care of, if they don't also have rental income or a pension, so you have to layer on all of these different things because there are clients that it makes total sense to have 100% equities for. Now, we'll show them, here's 100% equities. And they go, Ari, that looks like my money could be down 45% at some point. I go, that's true. That could happen. And we're going to be doing tax planning when that does happen to take advantage of it. But you're right, that could happen. And if you're not comfortable with that, we don't have to do it. And they go, yeah, but you also said before, even though this kind of looks scary, that if I was ever down 45%, that I'd still be okay because I have my pension that covers all of my needs, and I have potential inheritance, even though we're not relying on it. I go, that's true. But are you still going to lose sleep at night? And they go, you know, I thought I would lose sleep, but to be honest, now that I understand that I'd still be okay either way, I'm not saying I'm going to be happy and call you up over the moon when I'm down 30%, but as long as we have tax strategy to take advantage of these things, I'll be happy with it. And then I'll take it a step further and show my clients the benefits of doing a Roth conversion, which don't make sense for everyone, but for those it does make sense for, think about it like this. Assume you buy Apple stock for $1 and it grows to $5. That's awesome. That's what you want to have happen. But if that's all in your IRA, when you take the money out, it's ordinary income. So let's assume you buy Apple stock for $1 and it goes up to $5. And you're like, okay, I bought it for $1. It's now worth $5, but that's in my IRA. So like cost basis and what you purchased it for and all that stuff doesn't really matter because when you take the money out, it's all taxed as if it's just ordinary income. So what we want to do is say, wait a second. Let's assume we bought Apple stock for $1 and now it's worth $5 and it's just crushing it and it's all in your IRA and it keeps going. And now Apple stock's worth $10. Well, what some people do is they go, Apple stock's done really well for me. I'm going to hold on to that. And when I need income, I'm going to withdraw from it. Nothing wrong with that. But the next level of planning is saying, okay, I've got my good investment allocation. I'm comfortable with the ups and downs of the market. Now that Apple stock I bought for $1, it went to $5, now it's worth $10. At some point, that Apple stock is going to go back down to $1. Maybe it's even going to 50 cents. And once it's at that $1 or 50 cents, you can implement what's called a Roth conversion, moving the money from that IRA where your Apple stock is owned to a Roth IRA. Now, you, for example, you bought it at $1, it goes up to $5, it goes back up to $10. Now, maybe it comes down to $5. At $5, you do a Roth conversion, move that $5 from your IRA to your Roth IRA. Stick with me here. And now when that $5 that's now in your Roth IRA grows back to 10, because it will at some point, that's all tax-free growth. So too many people say, I'm going to be a good long-term investor. They kind of sit on their hands and markets go down and say, yep, I'm going to just buy and hold. Nothing wrong with that, especially if you're building up in your 20s and 30s and 40s. But then there comes a point where it actually makes a whole lot of sense to say, I'm not going to sit on my hands. I'm going to implement Roth conversions or these other strategies that people do when they're trying to retire early because it can add a whole lot more value over the long term. So hopefully I by no means overwhelmed you today. A lot of stories, hopefully changing your perspective a little bit when it comes to what the allocation should be, retirement planning, Roth conversions. I wanted to kind of make this a mailbag episode, but really I want you successfully spending, not looking back mad, going, why didn't I spend more? Because I don't want to have $10 million when I'm 80 and maybe I have children. I want to leave $1 million to each. Maybe you don't have any child and you're like, hey, that changes my whole plan. Can I retire earlier? And more often than not, the answer is yes, by a number of years, if you don't want to leave $3 million to a certain child. So these are the pro strategies that I help my clients with for those that want to retire early. If you're listening to this and going, hey, my advisor does exactly this, then great, don't hire us and it's not worth the hassle. If you go, hey, no, this is what I'm looking for, I just didn't know it existed, someone that specifically does early retirement, holistic planning, that's why we exist. So hopefully this was helpful. Love you guys as usual. I know I said I was gonna go over a review of the week, so I'm gonna go over it right now just at the end. This comes from Robert, 2025. Recently started listening to Ari's podcast, find it extremely informative, very concise and easy to understand. In addition, I reached out to Ari in an email and he was very helpful with a timely response. Thank you for such an informative and educational podcast. I look forward to listening to it every week. Keep up the good work, best wishes. So glad that this episode was helpful and Robert, you've enjoyed the show. I know I'm not gonna work with all of you, so my only request is if you're not working with me, if any of this has been helpful, please do drop a comment on YouTube or leave a review on iTunes and let me know how I've helped you. I love hearing all of your stories. It's what makes this job fun. So thank you guys. Love you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information. If there's anyone out there that you know, I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week.
Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.